This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome back to the Lynx Magazine Golf Podcast. This is episode 2. I am one of your co-hosts, Graylin Loomis, and I'm joined today by Ian Kreitzer. Ian, welcome back, buddy. Second time we've done this.
Good to be here. Good to be here as always. It's kind of a different topic, but one that's equally important to anything and something not a lot of people think about when planning golf trips today. But something that definitely needs to be considered and kind of taken into consideration.
Yeah, I'll ease into it by telling a little story about an email I got the other day. It was a group of golfers, really a father and son, who were on their bucket list trip to Scotland. And I had helped them plan a few things. And the son emailed me 3 days into the trip to say, hey, it's all going well, but the airline lost my dad's clubs. And his golf shoes were in there, his rain suit was in there, and of course his clubs were in there, and it's been raining. So he's been playing in rental clubs. He didn't really want to buy another rain suit.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's a few hundred bucks.
Yeah.
Didn't really want to buy another pair of golf shoes, but he did buy another pair of golf shoes. And he said, you know, what could I have done to avoid this? And that spurred this topic on today. We're talking about traveling with your clubs and the best ways to travel with your clubs, or as we'll talk about, possibly not traveling with your clubs.
Right.
Obviously, right. Renting is always an option, or many times an option, but yeah, that's kind of an obvious one. So we aren't going to really get into club rental, but instead talk about if you're taking a big trip and it's, you know, maybe one of your big golf vacations of the year, of the next 5 years, of the next 10 years, however long, you want your own clubs. So we'll kind of start with talking about some of the challenges people come up against. One of the big ones is, like I just said, airlines losing clubs. You've had some really bad experiences in the last 2-3 weeks. Well, really, last 2 months.
Last 2 months.
How many flights have you had canceled in the last 2 months?
6 or 7.
Oh,
that's the last 2 months. But that being said, I've traveled with my clubs a few times, and luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had anything go wrong with the clubs. Whether they be where they were damaged, they arrived on time at my destinations, but. That being said, we also flew direct most of those flights. So,
The owner of Lynx, and one of the owners of Lynx, Jack Purcell, he's our publisher. He was just on a Lynx Magazine subscriber trip to St. Andrews. Well, really to Scotland. They flew up into the north and went up to Dornoch. He didn't have his clubs or his bag. For I forget how long, a day or two.
It was at least a day or two. But he played in his button down and rental clubs and kind of looked like Phil wearing the button down, and it was a bold fashion statement. Then I realized I heard that he had his bags hadn't made it, and so I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll get to how you can kind of avoid the losing the clubs, but let's get a little bit into travel cases and how to avoid damaging your clubs.
Right.
What do you use for a travel case, and you know, has it been the same thing forever, or have you changed over the years?
So I've had the same travel bag for forever. I think my dad had it before me for his you know, whatever golf travel he would do, and it's worked pretty well. Like I said, knock on wood, I haven't had any damaged or lost clubs. They haven't shown up, you know, once or twice, but they showed up the next day. But it's a soft bag.
Yeah, soft case.
Yeah.
Has wheels.
It has wheels. It's one of those where it has wheels, but if you're dragging it through an airport or subway stations or whatever, it's by the time you get to your either the course or the hotel, you know, whatever where you're staying, your shoulder socket, arm socket feels like it's dragging, and you're like, oh man, That was a lot.
Like, I'm not going to be able to swing tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, well,
exactly.
I think most of us here in the office and most serious golf travelers I know do go with the soft case.
Right. You had the hard case for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I went with the hard case. I got it back in, I don't know, middle school or high school, and used it for the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's basically a hard plastic shell.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of protection, there's probably not much that would protect your clubs more than that. That said, it's heavy. It's difficult to deal with. And then when you think about storage and storing the hard case.
It doesn't fit anywhere.
You know, it's basically like storing a second set of golf clubs, except it's much bigger than a set of golf clubs.
Right.
Which in, you know, apartments that I've lived in, it just wasn't working.
Right.
And it's also tough. The case doesn't fit in trunks of cars, like the hard case. Which is kind of, it defeats the purpose. Everybody always has it across the back seat or has it, I would have to put it across, you know, people sitting in the back seat and it was uncomfortable. So after a while I said, you know what, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And I purchased a Sun Mountain, Meridian. So that's a soft case, but it has that, they call it the club glider technology, where like the stand drops out and it's a second set of wheels.
So it drops down and it kind of stands like a 45 degree
exactly,
angle.
Yeah.
And it just,
yeah. And it takes all, when you're rolling it around, it supports itself. It takes all the pressure off your shoulder, off your wrist.
I absolutely love that.
It's kind of pricey, and I can't remember. I think I paid a few hundred bucks.
Worth it, though, with how much travel you do.
Yeah, I mean, if you do a lot of travel, it was totally worth it. And even more than that, you know, I do a lot of trips where I'll fly in somewhere and rent a car.
Right.
The ability to have the case kind of break down and become much smaller and be in the trunk with my set of clubs – It's invaluable. So
absolutely, that's something I might have to invest in later
yes.
on. But or Sun Mountain, if you're listening,
hook it up.
Yeah, hook it up. Now,
what do you do to protect your clubs when they're in the bag?
So because I have a soft case, I'll take some precautions. I'll wrap my club heads in towels and whatever. Kind of shove some like my golf shoes up there or something, just to give it a little bit of cushion.
Yep.
I also have a stiff arm that's really helpful that I use.
For those that don't know, the stiff arm is basically a rod with a little
It's kind of telescoping.
Yep. And you put that in your golf bag, and it protrudes with a little cap, I guess you could say, a little bit further than your driver. So if a baggage handler or you were to drop your clubs basically on their heads, you're not going to snap all your woods.
Right.
That stiff arm is going to take up all the force and protect the clubs.
Right. And that being said, there's some homemade ones that you can, like
broomstick,
and anything longer than your driver, essentially.
Yeah.
There's other ways to do that. But yeah, and the bag that you have kind of has that little inside. I know you wrap it in towels and stuff as well.
I do. It's kind of insulated. There's padding
on
top.
Right. That's
nice. Another thing I do is if you play with a driver that has a head that's removable.
Yeah.
I take a wrench and I remove the head prior to the trip, and that way I stick it in my bag with a wrench, and I know that my driver head won't break off.
Right.
And that saves me, you know, a lot of hassle, a lot of time.
And for a long time, I played with one that didn't. I wasn't able to take it off, so that was always like.
So that's where the stiff arm comes in.
Right. So yeah. I would get to the airport and I'd open them immediately. When my golf bag came around the carousel or wherever, I would immediately open it. I was like, "Is my driver okay?" Because I'm not
that's
a good
the first thing you check.
I'm not a good 3-wood player, so that would be a little dicey off the tee for me. But
it's true. One question I get a lot is, well, relatively high amount is, hey, I want to fly with my clubs. I've never flown with my clubs before. Is that a specialty sporting? What do they call it? Specialty luggage or specialty sports luggage like skis.
Right.
And I can say on every major airline, it is not.
Right.
Clubs count as a normal piece of luggage, which is lucky for us golfers because some specialty sporting equipment, I think is actually smaller than a golf bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to pay a whole lot more than we do.
I do a little bit of my family's big into skiing, and we always have to pay, you know, we double pack
big
skis,
dollars.
So we only have
to
pay for two bags and stuff. But it
gets pricey.
It gets really pricey.
It's really pricey. And speaking of kind of the cost to fly with your clubs, that brings us to an alternative, club shipping.
Right.
Now, I know that you've never used club shipping before. I have a handful of times, and I'll kind of talk about my experiences. There are a handful of companies out there that offer luggage shipping and golf club shipping. ShipStix is one that you see on Golf Channel all the time. There's another that's Luggage Forward.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot that's just luggage based, but they also have golf club options.
Right.
Some people don't think about it, but if you had a box, you could just ship your clubs with UPS or FedEx.
Right.
Now, ShipStix and Luggage Forward do a few things that kind of ramp up the service a little bit.
And ease the process.
And make the process easier than if you were to just use a carrier like UPS or FedEx. But the process, generally speaking, is you go on one of these websites, you put in your pickup point and your drop-off point. So that could be your house, and it could be the first round of golf you're going to play, first golf club.
Yep.
And in most cases, in almost all cases, clubs or resorts are more than happy to, you know, receive those clubs for you and have them waiting in
Definitely.
Their bag drop. They quote you a price, and we'll get into the pricing. But following that, you are either mailed or given a link to download and print a shipping label.
Right.
And you basically either stick that on the box or on the outside of your travel case. And you can either drop it off at a location, but every time I've said, nope, just come on by and pick it up. A couple times I've had it picked up at the house, other times picked up here at the office. And it's really easy. They come on in, they pick it up. Usually they subcontract out with like a DHL or something.
Right.
DHL comes in, grabs it. And then you get these really nice updates along the way.
That's good.
That it's like the tracking. But it is or like tracking that you'd have on UPS or FedEx, but it's nice because it's specific. It's like,
right.
Hey, we just picked up your clubs. Everything looked good. You know, they're going on the plane tonight. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Right. And as kind of a comparison, how club shipping versus flying with your clubs, especially to a destination that you weren't necessarily familiar with.
Yeah.
To begin with, both of us, the last time you were in New York, you club shipped.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
And after my recent trip to New York, I flew with my club. So I'm.
And we were both staying in the city for a portion of it. So when we landed, it involved taxis and subways and the whole thing.
Right. So picture me going through both the airport and then the transfer from the airport to the subway. And trying to figure out, you know, being a Southerner and not necessarily figuring out New York, by myself at this point, going through the subway turnstiles and on the subway, like I was kicking it under and I got my legs stuck in it the first time. Like it was.
Now, a New Yorker would say that we're fools for trying to ever take clubs on the subway.
100%.
But hey,
we looked like idiots.
I've done it. You got to save some money sometimes. But
yeah.
We're young.
Exactly. And then compare that to your last experience where
you know, I shipped it to the first course. Or no, I take that back. I shipped it to the hotel. It was waiting in the hotel.
Yeah.
And I just left my clubs at the last course.
and then they show up at your door 3 days later.
Yeah. And I didn't check a bag. I just had a carry on.
Right.
Everything was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, there are some cons, though, to club shipping.
Right.
If you're traveling domestically, it could be up to, you know, 2, 3, 4 days in advance of your arrival day that they need to pick up your club, sometimes
right.
more. Obviously, they need time to pick it up and ship them out and give you a little bit of a window where you get, you know, okay, they're going to arrive in time. Many of these offer guarantees that your clubs will arrive in time.
Right.
But for a bigger trip, let's say you're going to Scotland, I've shipped my clubs over there before, and they picked up my clubs like 7 or 8 days in advance.
Right.
Which for me was fine. I needed to do a ton of work before I left. So, I wasn't going to be practicing. But for a lot of people, they kind of want to get in that last minute practice, play a few rounds, get a final lesson.
Right.
Do whatever you want.
If your clubs are gone
for the 8 days before the trip.
Yeah.
That's a big negative to some people. It wasn't as big a negative to me, because I wasn't going to be playing over those days, but it's something to consider.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Think about the logistics. If you were to send a friend a package, then think about shipping your golf club somewhere. You've got to build in days. You've got to build in time. And when they guarantee that your clubs get there, they're going to build in time to make sure that when the semi-trailer truck breaks down, good thing we added 2 more days to this, sort of thing.
Exactly.
Now, a potential con, I won't say a con, really just something to consider is the price.
Right.
I priced out 2 trips, both from Hilton Head to downtown Edinburgh, Scotland. Mm-hmm. Figured, let's do it big. Let's plan for a Scotland trip. On luggage forward, that was $224 one way. So that's to get out there was $224. On ship six, it was $229.
So roughly the same.
Roughly the same. Yeah. $5 more.
And that, for comparison, how much would total or one way, I guess, would it be to fly with them?
So to fly, I was over in Scotland a few weeks ago. Your first check bag is free because it's an international flight.
Right.
Your second bag is $100.
Okay.
So to fly them out there, if you assuming for an international trip, you also have a bag of clothes and luggage, it's going to be $100 pretty much.
Right.
So $100 versus $224 or $229.
Right.
You guys work it out. If this is your bucket list, only time I might get over to Scotland, I've got to have them. That very well might be worth it, something to consider. Now, and it's the same to come back. So, double that up, 224 out, 224 back. What I recommend to some people when they say, club shipping's a little pricey, but I really got to make sure these things arrive.
Exactly.
I say, consider flying them out. Fly them out via luggage forward or ship sticks, not with you. And then, that way they're there. And then fly with them back. And worst case scenario, if the airline loses your bags on the way back,
then it's not.
It is what it is. That's fine.
At least you have them for the trip.
You had them for the trip.
Right.
A lot of people put shoes and rain suits and other things they'll need in that bag. So when you get over to Scotland and it's 40-mile-an-hour winds and 40 degrees and raining, and you're like, well, I'm glad I have a quarter zip. You'll be wishing you had the rain suit.
Yeah.
So those are some of the options, and I hope we've kind of shown how we approach travel. It really is one of those things where if you've taken a bunch of trips and it's worked out for you every time, it might not be something you think about. But the couple times it doesn't work out, you start to kick yourself. And
it's a trip ruiner, too.
Yeah, it can ruin a trip. Like that father and son, I felt so bad for them. Advice I gave them at that point, it was a moot point because they were there. The trip was already kind of, not ruined, but damaged.
And a good point as well is if the airline loses your clubs and you're kind of bouncing around Scotland, then it's...
Yeah, it can be such a hassle when you say, hey, I'm going to be at this location. And they say, cool, should get it to you there. I should say one time I went over to Scotland for a trip, shipped my clubs, did not ship my luggage.
Mm-hmm.
The airline lost my luggage, so I only had my clubs, ironically. So they said, cool, we'll get it to you today, and if not today, tomorrow. But it was difficult because I was in a different location that day than I was going to be the next day.
Right.
So there's this whole kind of chasing game. What made it even crazier is readers and listeners will have read my article about the North Coast 500. Mm-hmm. I was in like the rural north of Scotland where I landed in Edinburgh and drove like 5 hours north.
Yeah.
And so when I gave them my first location, they kind of looked at me like, what? like, okay. You're going where?
Yeah. I've never heard of that place.
Yeah. So yeah. It's something to think about. But I hope listeners and golf travelers who have had some questions have had those answered today. If you have any questions you want us to answer, reach out to us on social media. Yep. Ian manages our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Reach out on any of those or email us at letters@linksmagazine.com. That comes through to the editorial staff, and we answer every email that comes in. So I hope that's been useful.
Yeah.
Ian, thanks for joining us. Successful second episode. We're going to have a lot more to come. We've come up with a gigantic list of topics.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
But it's been fun so far.
Sounds good. Have a good rest of the day.
You too.